We have companies that haven't gone back to market to raise in many years, and because they don't have to because of the strength of their Bitcoin treasuries. The other aspect of this is really putting the opportunity cost and low time preference lens on business building.
The Portal app, which is basically an app that lets you use your key that you have created and you're managing securely as your digital identity, as your kind of digital profile. So I would say, like, to put it simply, we're kind of trying to recreate, the login with Google or the Apple Pay login with Apple iCloud, all of that, but we're trying to recreate it in a decentralized, open source way.
Really, our development process focuses at every level on serving customer needs and doing that in the easiest way possible. We do a lot of taking on complexity ourselves to hide complexity from customers.
What we are is we're a life insurance company, but we are entirely denominated in Bitcoin. What we do is we accept all premiums in Bitcoin and we pay all claims in Bitcoin. And then we do everything in between, all the like insurance mumbo jumbo and operations entirely in Bitcoin. The actuarial math in Bitcoin. We do our reserving in Bitcoin. We do our audited financials in Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the currency.
The Bitcoin holdings that they had were not really being taken into account whatsoever in terms of their worthiness as a borrower. And so they were really just being kind of held back from a potential loan that they could get. And so the result is that either they just have to sell Bitcoin to buy a home, and so they're paying gains tax just to be able to make that purchase, or they're just being forced into a financial situation that doesn't match their reality. So I think it was a great development, really in the right direction, to see that Pulte put out this letter saying that now Bitcoin and crypto, but Bitcoin can be, you know, taken into account.
Lynn and I are partners at Baselayer Advisors, where we use our network of venture capital partners and startup founders to connect investors with unique opportunities within the Bitcoin innovation space. Alongside this, we help startup founders with their growth and fundraising. Visit our website's advisory section to learn more. Welcome to Build with Bitcoin. I'm co-host Israel Munoz, and joined with co-host Lynn Bairstow. Today, we're providing a brief summary of recent highlights from Marty Bent, Portal Technologies, BitKey, Meanwhile, and AnchorWatch. So we have a mix of investor technology companies that are working on digital identity, storage, and we finish off with an insurance industry perspective from Meanwhile and AnchorWatch. That being said, Lynn, why don't we get started with Marty Bent? What do you think?
Well, I could talk to Marty. I mean, I'm a big fan of Marty's and Matt O'Dell's. I listen to their podcast every week, but because I think that they give such good insights. And with Marty, I love the integrity of Marty. I really appreciate the fact that he was one of the founding team of 1031, the venture capital fund that is fully supportive of Bitcoin companies. And so his perspective of just diving deep into the technology, knowing the different companies, gives him just such a great breadth of knowledge to share with us. But I also would love to dive with you a little bit more about some of the theses of ours about how Bitcoin is remaking venture capital that Marty brought up in the conversation, that are kind of proving what we're seeing or what we think we're seeing in terms of shifts in VC. What about you, Israel? What did you see?
Yeah. So apart from his also very interesting journey into Bitcoin, which we do try to highlight in most episodes, so encourage people to have a listen. Marty goes through exactly what his journey was getting into Bitcoin, and why it's become just the cornerstone of his, you know, business and maybe personal life as it becomes for all of us. But, to your point, Lynn, I agree. I mean, he really kind of confirmed some of the themes we've been talking about for quite a few months, and we've been seeing play out with some of the entrepreneurs and startup stories that we've been highlighting throughout the past year. And in the conversation with Marty, I think there's a couple of strong points of reference and just early examples of proof that
incorporating Bitcoin as a treasury asset is having some very powerful effects. So Marty speaks a little bit to, I believe, the example with Strike, with Jack Mahler's, but also just as a portfolio of 1031 that they're seeing less necessity to raise from some of the companies that have successfully implemented a Bitcoin treasury strategies. I mean, super interesting to hear. And 1031, of course, is one of the most prevalent funds in the space. They have a very sizable portfolio. And Marty touches precisely on that, right? Which we've been discussing for a while now. And now there's just proof, right? I mean, you're starting to see some real examples that companies are able to maintain more ownership and have less necessity to continue raising and raising funds in order to expand their business. That was a super interesting touch point, as well as the hurdle rate aspect, right?
It was the first time that we really had anybody give us a concrete example of how they recommend, how they advise their funds. And so he said that they advise to keep 3 months in cash of runway and to cover expenses and put the rest in Bitcoin, which is really aggressive, I think, from, you know, I think other, most people would think keep a year in cash, but, you know, their 1031 has a little bit more, you know, Bitcoin-focused strategy that I think has played out well for them. But then also just, you know, talking about raising more than you might need and putting the balance in the Bitcoin treasury to give you that capability of not needing to raise in the future. But yeah, the metrics that he went through and the examples of the companies, Strike, also talked about Fold, which is the one public company, you know, that's gone public, that's out of their portfolio. And then the other thing that I thought was super interesting that he mentioned that we have talked about, and it's the first time that we've had a guest talk about it as well, is what are potential exit strategies for founders if you're not thinking about an IPO or a sale of your company, which I, you know, I think between us, we've seen that a lot of the founders are not thinking in that way, the same way maybe traditional tech companies think of it. And he said that they have one of their portfolio companies that's actually returning their LP investment to them in Bitcoin. And so this whole idea of a Bitcoin dividend or a Bitcoin payback to investors, I think, is such an early concept, but I think as Bitcoin becomes more scarce and it's harder to come by, that any company that's actually earning revenues in Bitcoin and has the ability to distribute it could just be a whole other remaking of investment capital to, you know, to return to your investors in Bitcoin. And Marty talked about that in our conversation with him too. So yeah, fascinating look into how somebody who's really early into Bitcoin VC is actually demonstrating the changes that it makes in the companies that they're investing in.
Yeah, and one final point there as well. I mean, some of these things might sound a bit, I would even say, absurd or irresponsible to some people from traditional finance or venture capital. But keep in mind the Bitcoin founder mentality as well. And he also gets into, you know, the power of AI, for example, for companies, which is a broader theme. But the hurdle rate of that, all this ultimately reflects into what we're seeing as a common theme of very efficient startups. I mean, all of these companies, well, not all of them, but let's say the majority of these companies, I think it's safe to say you and I, Lynn, are seeing a very clear trend of extremely capital efficient, very lean on resources and how they deploy those resources, keeping the team small, leveraging technology. Part of that is, of course, leveraging the hard asset technology of Bitcoin. And so, you know, you get into how can they be so maybe aggressive with their Bitcoin treasury strategy, or how can they be so profitable early on? It's because I think there is an interesting story in the background.
You're absolutely right. I think that prioritization on profits, which gives you the ability that if you're not putting your seed funding into Bitcoin, that you're putting an allocation of Bitcoin as you generate revenues. And so, I mean, and using the example of Mahler's and Strike, you know, that any investment they make, whether it's a new hire or a new technology or an expansion into a market, that they say, is this going to outperform Bitcoin? And then I loved Marty's example where he talked about the contrasted Strike and Coinbase and how many more companies Strike is operating in versus Coinbase, and just the number of team players, the difference in the team players between Strike and Coinbase. And so that's like a Bitcoin mentality company versus a a shitcoin company.
Yes. Yeah, and there's a few examples out there of that contrast, right? So yeah, definitely a very worthwhile conversation that was with Marty Bent. Then we got into a conversation so Portal Technologies, we spoke with Alikos, the founder, and we first got in touch with Alikos actually in last year's 2024 Bitcoin conference, and so he participated in the pitch day. Then we were reintroduced to Alikos at this year's conference in Las Vegas because Alikos with Portal Technologies, they were the ones who won the hackathon. So very interesting company as well. I mean, a bit under the radar, but Alikos is actually a very seasoned, young, but very seasoned Bitcoiner. And he explains that he got early experience at Blockstream. He developed was it BDK?
The Jade Wallet, I believe he was on that team.
The Jade Wallet, and then the development kit that's widely used for other wallets.
Correct. Yes.
Is that right? Yeah. So all that to say, seasoned Bitcoiner, young founder, Portal Technologies. It sounds a bit abstract at first, but he does a good job running through what they're working on, and it's a shorter episode as well. If I recall correctly, and they're working on digital identity. So what were some of your takeaways from Portal Technologies then?
Well,
Build with Bitcoin is a proud affiliate partner of River. River is a financial services company that allows you to purchase, sell, and transfer your Bitcoin all through a great suite of products, high security standards, and as of recent, even allowing you to earn a Bitcoin yield on your US dollar cash deposits. For a personalized onboarding experience, go to partner.river.com/buildwithbitcoin.
I mean, first of all, just talking about Alikos himself, I mean, that's a founder to watch. I mean, I think in my years of VC, it's like you learn that there are certain individuals that just have something special. And I just see that in him. I think that wherever he puts his attention, he's going to be really successful. And obviously just a brilliant mind and really loves Bitcoin and really loves innovating. And so his idea, I mean, he's got a huge idea. I mean, his idea is to remake digital identity, where instead of having this mess of passwords and password managers and, you know, saving your passwords to centralized systems like iCloud or Google Password, that you have a digital identity that kind of mirrors your Bitcoin key pair, private key, public key. And so you have a public key that is present in the universe that would enable you to do anything from unlocking your apartment door to paying for a hamburger to verifying your college transcript. And then but your private key is what enables you to unlock that or move that around. And so, you know, it's a huge idea. And he wants to make it open source because he said that helps it become more global and not captured by any particular geographic domain or centralized service, and just increases adoption, increases the ability for people to use it. So I just love his vision for this, and I just think it's really exciting. So I can't wait to, I thought it was a great pick as a winner from Bitcoin Magazine teams to have recognized this technology. And honestly, Israel, I just can't wait to see where he goes and what happens with Portal. So that'll be one to keep watching.
Yeah, we spoke about it afterwards, right? We're both particularly excited with what Alikos is working on at Portal. And one last point there maybe to highlight is Alikos does speak to this, to the power of protocols and open source technology. So it's definitely worth a listen. I think they're going to be doing some very interesting things. That was Portal Technologies with Alikos. And the next episode we have in the highlights reel is BitKey. So that was with Max Geis, who is the head of BitKey, the product at Block, or formerly Square. Many people are familiar with that company. So this was a deep dive into self-custody. And I like that Max actually makes this clear in the episode. He said that they think from a product perspective and how they design the BitKey, that they consider it a self-custody solution more so than a wallet, which is interesting because most of us, and myself included, to be honest, before speaking with Max, kind of associated, what do you mean? You know, self-custody and is a wallet essentially, right? But he goes into the design thinking behind the BitKey product, that it's by design, a 2 of 3 signature. They have one key in the app, one key as a hardware, a beautifully designed hardware device. And he goes through some of the intricacies of, you know, how it actually functions, some of their recovery mechanisms. But what were some of your takeaways from that episode, Lynn?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting when you look at the contrast between Alakas, who's a founder just starting, and then Block, which is one of the more sophisticated technology innovators in the Bitcoin space, in a variety of things. And this is their, as you point out, a solution for self-custody. And I think they looked at it. And as as Bitcoin grows in adoption and usage, the core initial group of people who were attracted to Bitcoin were more technologists and people who kind of understood, I think you either had people who were very attracted to the hard money aspect of it, but most were technologists. And as this is broadening up and as we see more and more people adopt it, as more and more people become curious about it, it's not easy to sometimes think about self-custody. And I have found that it has turned people off when you start talking about private keys and public keys and crypto. You know, it's like I had one friend say, I can't even remember my password to my phone. It's like, I'm not going to remember. So people are looking for solutions that are more intuitive, easier. And I think they've done a great job of designing a beautifully attractive hardware device, and that kind of pairs with it. It does take it off of the exchange, so it is in your control. There's an element of centralization to it, but it also gives you a lot more sovereignty over, you know, who you can have a trusted contact that can help you with recovery. It really has a beautifully designed inheritance solution to it. So I think for a broader base of people, it's a great product. And I know personally, I have gifted it to family and friends that were earlier on in their Bitcoin journey, just because it's less scary and it does help them get it off the exchange and into their own hands. And it's a great initial first step for taking control, and maybe not a first step, maybe an ending step. You know, it's a great solution. So it was exciting to see. And I think, you know, just connecting with Max, offline, Block has some really interesting additional products related to Bitcoin coming out on the horizon, like a mining solution and things like that. So we'll be chatting with Max, I'm sure, again in the future. But any other takeaways from Block and Max?
No, I mean, I think you summarized it well. And, you know, it's an interesting look into one of the solutions being developed within the broader custody space. And there's a lot of innovation going on there, and it's a wide spectrum, of course. So it was a great conversation getting into the mindset and design behind a solution like the BitKey. Give that a listen if those topics are of interest to you. And then finally, Lynn, we'll kind of blend these two together. Two startups in the insurance and Bitcoin industry. Their solutions are quite different. So Meanwell is operating in the life insurance umbrella, and AnchorWatch is working under the property and casualty section of insurance. So I think it actually works out nice that these two are back to back, because there are different lenses within the insurance industry, but just broader than speaking about specific insurance products in this highlights. I mean, I think it goes to show how Bitcoin is maturing, because there's a few very interesting parallels between these two companies, the strength of their founding team, the strength of their cap table. So you have some very prominent and great investors on the cap table of both of these companies. Insurance, just as a whole, tends to be an industry that's very conservative and long-term thinking, very careful steps. And you see some of this blending of traditional insurance with Bitcoin, and it's just such a healthy sign. What were some of your comments from these two conversations, Lynn?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, to listen to the episode, to get into the depth of what they offer with Zach, and Meanwell, it's, you know, I think, yes, it's life insurance, but it's also available globally, and you have the ability to lend to borrow your appreciation of the life insurance policy. So access some of that on a tax-free advantage basis. And then with Becca's, the Anchor Watch, the protecting yourself from Bitcoin, and there is an increase in attacks against Bitcoiners. And so this kind of takes that away from you, but it also has an incredible inheritance feature to it. So, you know, in terms of the products themselves, the episodes will do a great job of just kind of diving deep into that. But to your point, Israel, I think it was interesting for us to take a look at these two founders. And we look at all the different Bitcoin companies and who's successful at raising capital, because, you know, getting back to the Marty conversation, if Bitcoin is the hurdle rate, what company is going to exceed that just on their own in terms of the growth of the profitability of the company, the growth of market share? And in both of these cases, they have investors, really well-known investors, that have said, you know, basically in putting their money down, that this is a leverage bet on Bitcoin. And I think Wences Casares, who's an investor and Meanwhile, said that specifically. It's like, I don't usually invest, but I can see that this is a leverage bet on Bitcoin. And Sam Altman is also an investor in Meanwhile, and that speaks to the efficiency. That's a super lean team. I think they have 12 people on the team, and I don't know what the number is right now, but utilizing AI for greater efficiencies inside of their organization. And AnchorWatch is also a super lean team, and they just launched really in December, but the growth they've experienced in 7 months or 8 months has been phenomenal. And so, you know, these are both, I mean, we both, after we got off the interviews, the first interviews, it's like founding teams, super strong, investor tables, super strong, and they're remaking financial services on a Bitcoin standard. And they're two of the beginning teams to do this and companies. And I just think it really speaks to the opportunity that people that maybe not looking at Bitcoin companies are just totally missing. I think that more investments should be going into Bitcoin companies. And these are two examples of just how, you know, how much potential there is in this particular space.
These two companies are the leaders in the Bitcoin insurance innovation space, which they're really pioneering this emergence of Bitcoin and insurance. And go back and listen to each of the conversations, because they both do a great job. Both Becca on the AnchorWatch side and Zach on the Meanwhile side, contextualizing the size of these industries as well. Go ahead, Lynn.
No, and I think it's really important. We can't say this without mentioning the regulatory hurdles that they have to go through in order to do this. Like Zach was talking about, he's issuing policies. The payments are in Bitcoin. The payouts are in Bitcoin. I mean, it's a full Bitcoin standard company. AnchorWatch, you know, has Lloyd's of London coverage on it. But the hurdles that they had to go through to really, you know, get into this very traditional industry and flip it on its head and get people and regulatory bodies to understand what they're doing and approve them. It's like, it's a big task. And I think that it speaks to the strength of the founders too. And in that case,
and to that point, Becca on the AnchorWatch episode also speaks a little bit to some recent events and news on the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac guidance that was provided on the impact of mortgage lenders being able to now consider Bitcoin and crypto holdings for risk assessment. So yeah, to your point, I mean, these are industries that are heavily regulated, and both of these companies are doing an extremely efficient job of being able to navigate that regulatory world. And I think even for those regulators and traditional industries, it's extremely beneficial to have such competent founding and technology teams, really educating them, I think, in many cases about how this technology works and why it makes sense. I mean, Becca gets a little bit into that as well, that it actually, the technology that they've built out at AnchorWatch provides for an extremely risk mitigated product that they're able to offer. So yeah, a lot of interesting points in both of those conversations. Highly encourage people to listen to those, because these two companies, I mean, I have little doubt in my mind that they're going to grow big, they're going to mature, they're going to continue attracting probably some more traditional investors if they do raise further rounds. Keep an eye on them. Great conversations overall from Marty to all the way down to the insurance side that we just covered. But I think it was a great set of five episodes.
I feel the same. And hopefully this gives our listeners just ability to kind of pick and choose which ones are, you know, speak to you the most. So it saves you some time from listening to everything to listening to what is most important to you.
Yeah. We hope you enjoy. If you like the content we're producing at Build with Bitcoin, please share, subscribe to our channel, leave comments, reach out to us. We love the feedback. So yeah, thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to the Build with Bitcoin podcast. If you found benefit in what you heard in this episode, we'd truly appreciate it if you would like, share, or leave a comment on whichever platform you're listening, as this helps others find us, which is especially important for a new podcast. And as a reminder, our content is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only, and is not to be considered investment advice or recommendation to invest in any company or asset mentioned in the podcast. Build with Bitcoin is a proud affiliate partner of River, a full-service, 100% reserve custody, Bitcoin-only financial services company. For your next Bitcoin purchase, use our exclusive link, partner.river.com/buildwithbitcoin. Thank you sincerely for being a part of the Build with Bitcoin community.